the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved. Okay. First off, does this sound like Peter? Does this sound like the Peter we knew in the Gospels? No. We were impressed last week when he was saying, hey, it's not me, it's not my power, it's not us, it's Jesus. And now what's he saying to them? Yeah. But this is Peter. This is Peter who couldn't stand up to a servant girl in the courtyard who said, you were with Jesus, weren't you? And said three times, no. No. Something's different about Peter. And the text tells us, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, had a quick debate with John about who's the most important and who gets to speak first. No, he didn't have that. I don't think they would debate that anymore. What you have here is the Spirit speaking, and Jesus told them, when you are called before judges, when you're called before kings, when you're called before rulers, don't worry. The Spirit will give you the words to speak. What you're hearing is not Peter. Peter is, he's acquiesced to the Spirit, the breath of God. He's quoting Old Testament scripture. Because, you know, Peter is such an Old Testament scholar. But the Spirit says, hey, this person, Jesus, is the capstone. You rejected him, but he's become the capstone, the highest, the head. And it says here, oh, and by the way, in verse 12, he says, salvation is found in no one else. We've talked about that word salvation. All right? We have a tendency to use that word wrong. We think of it in terms of your ticket being punched to heaven. That's what we, not our fault, but that's what preached to us. That's what we've heard. That's what we heard in songs, right? The word salvation literally means to be made whole, or be made complete, or to be made well. Wholeness. There is wholeness in no other name. There is completion. There is the word that Jesus would use, the teleos, be perfect, be mature as your Father is mature. So he's saying to them that you can't reach a spiritual wholeness except in the name of Jesus, which we talked about last week, means salvation is from Yah, right? The word salvation is all the way around. God wants you to be a whole person. That's what he wants. That's what God is working for. In 1 Peter chapter 1, the word salvation uses three different tenses. You have been made whole. You are being made whole. You will be made whole. God is at work in your life. The Spirit of God, the breath of God is at work in your life. The question is, who made this crippled man whole? Peter says, I can answer that one for you. It's Jesus. Jesus. Oh, yeah, remember the guy that you crucified? The one that God raised from the dead to prove that there is life after life? So, in verse 13, when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. This really shook them up. Where did they get the courage to stand up to the ruling decision-making group of their nation, the religious heavyweights? Yeah. Where did they get this courage? Were they educated? No. Were they special? Were they born? No. Here's where they got it. They've been with Jesus. That's where they got it. And they were astonished. Astonished. When was the last time you were astonished? You know, where you looked at some and said, I cannot explain this. I find this astonishing. Not a word we use very often anymore. They were astonished. And their mouths were open and they looked at each other and said, okay, what do we do now? We really wanted to intimidate these guys. We wanted to shut them up. We put them up in this really nice hotel last night, hoping they would get the idea that we had the authority, we had the power to make their life miserable. But boy, they're talking to us like we need to learn something. Courage. Courage. I talk about courage a lot. I don't know if you've heard that. We encourage each other, right? At the end of the service, we ask God to give us wisdom on how to encourage each other. How to face your fears. Doesn't mean you don't have fears. We all have fears. But how do you face them? Where do you get the fortitude? Where do you get the strength to get up another day and do what's right? And the answer is right there. Have you been with Jesus? Where's the source of your courage? Have you spent time with Jesus today? Have you realized how much He loves you? Have you realized how much He's done for you? Have you basked in the knowledge that He is making you a whole person? That you don't have to pretend like you're somebody you're not. He knows your weakness, but He still loves you. And He wants what's best for you. Have you spent time with Jesus today? If so, you will have the courage to face whatever comes. And as a congregation, we try to focus on giving each other the courage to keep our eyes and our minds and our hearts fixed on Jesus. Because there are a lot of things that will distract you out there, a lot of things to put your mind on, a lot of things to fix your eyes on, a lot of things to think about, a lot of things that get into your emotional well-being. Have you been with Jesus? If you have, you're going to have the courage. The kind of courage that they saw Peter and John. The Sanhedrin just met the Holy Spirit. And they're really uncomfortable. Not whom they wanted to meet. It says here, verse 14, but since they could see the man who had been healed standing there with them, because they recognized him too. How many times did they walk past him in the last 40 years? Oh, I've already let it go. 40. Okay, messed that one up. Foreshadowed that one. How long that guy's been out there? They recognized him. He says, there was nothing they could say, even though they would like to say something, because that's what people do when they try to intimidate you. They say things. He says, so they ordered them to withdraw, from the Sanhedrin and conferred together. Okay, here's what we can do. We can make them leave the room. And they did that. And they put their heads together. He says, what are we going to do with these men, they ask. Everyone living in Jerusalem knows they have done an outstanding miracle, and we cannot deny it. You know what they wanted to do? They wanted to deny it, but they couldn't. He says, they asked, deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, we must warn these men to speak no longer to anyone in this name. They would not use the name, but they referred to it as this name. Then they called them in again, and they commanded them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Ha! Took care of that one. But Peter and John replied, you guys think this thing through. Judge for yourself whether it is right in God's sight to obey you rather than God. For we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and heard. Oh, that's frustrating. What do we do? Let's threaten them some more. He said, after further threats, they let them go. They could not decide how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened. For the man who was miraculously healed was over 40 years old. Those living in Jerusalem have seen this man for how long begging at the gate called Beautiful? Yeah. Now, guys, 40 means something different to them than it does to us, okay? Because, you know, their life expectancy, he was at the top of the life expectancy curve. And now he's healed in his old age. I don't know, in Sun City, we'd have to say, this man is 102 to get the same effect. But he was standing there. That's all he had to do was stand. He didn't have to say anything. He just stood there. And they said, we can't do anything about that. So, we've got an external threat. He says, in verse 23, on their release, Peter and John went back to their own people and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. Yeah, there was some openness there, right? They went back and said, hey, by the way, they threatened us. They could have said, hey, it's all cool. Let's just go on the way we're going. No, they said, we were threatened. This is what happened to us. And guess what? They were scared. How do I know that? Well, keep reading with me. Okay. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, and the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against their holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided before that they should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Yeah. Why do you say a prayer like that? Because you're not feeling bold. These threats are feeling a little heavy. So what do they do about it? They prayed together about it. He says, now consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wow, persecution didn't work. Why? Because they took their fears to God. And they asked God to take care of that. And the Spirit moved in their life. And now you're going to start seeing more miracles. And guys, I don't know how to... The time of miracles, even though you think about your Bible and say it happened all the time, the time for miracles was very, 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 very small. That's by definition what a miracle is. It didn't happen very often, or it wouldn't have been a miracle. But miracles are going to go on now, despite the opposition. And from now on, we're going to see this external conflict. And next week, we're going to read the scariest story you're going to find in your New Testament. Yeah. Ananias and Sapphira. Don't read ahead. Don't do it. Oh, okay, you can. You can read ahead. But it is the scariest story. And Luke put it in there for a reason. And we're going to ask ourselves, why did Luke put that scary story in our Bible? Because we need to hear it. Because the Holy Spirit works. And the Holy Spirit works for your salvation, your wholeness, your completeness. And there are times that you can mess that up. And that's when you read the scary story that happens. Yeah. So now we have 5,000 men. They're still hanging out in Jerusalem. They're waiting for Jesus to come back. Some of them have no visible means of supporting themselves. Some of them, they've been kicked out of Super 8 Motel because they can't pay the room anymore. So they're living with other believers, and they're having trouble feeding each other, and some strange and wonderful things are going to happen because they're waiting for Jesus to come back. And Jesus is going to have to send them out into the whole world because that's what he told them to do. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations. And the Spirit will be at work in that. The Spirit's still at work in your life. The breath of God. The promise. And we come together so we can keep focused on Jesus and have the courage to do what we know is right. And one of the things